guys are listening would think they're hearing voices or something, or echo. We'll start again, but I'll introduce the thesis right away. Eifelik, Rashi tells you, the first Rashi is the end of the seventh Pelik. What does that mean? The seventh Pelik were Abba Mises Bezdin and listed all the Niskolim, whoever's Chayv's Kila. And Ben Sora Mora is one of those. So they really belongs in the last Pelik, but there was no room. That's what the Miri says, since it's a lengthy discussion on Ben Sora Mora, they decided to give it its own place and moved it to an eighth Pelik. The first question, right? Is who this man is, who this boy is. The Torah doesn't define him. The Torah just says ki yir li'ish ben sorer mora. I mean, ki yir li'ish ben sorer mora. That juxtaposition of two words, ish and ben, leads the Gemara to a conclusion. Again, I'll remind you, I gave you the Rambam. The Rambam says it's all mipi ha-shemua, it's all halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Nevertheless, the Gemara is always is asmuchu akor, likes to attach it to the psukim, right? And that's how you affirm really one a critical theological point, that we don't have two Torahs, they have only one Torah. All we have is Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah B'Ksav only tells you what. Look at the Torah Shebal Peh for Pshat. There is no reason to assume any translation of the Torah except that's how my Rebbe taught me. Chazir could mean turkey on Thanksgiving. Turkey on Thanksgiving has its own problems. What problem does it have in turkey on Thanksgiving?
Well, one is potentially kosherous.
No. What's the key problem? Serious problem, huh?
Chukas
Hagoyim.
Are you saying the kosher issue is not a serious problem?
There are two halachas. Chukoseim osoleichu, chukos agoyim. There's also, according to the Ramban, an isul to make a yomtiv. Eileheim muadai, Kodesh Baruch Hu makes yomim tovim. You can't make your own yomtiv. And that's the key distinction. If Thanksgiving becomes a yomtiv, my shreya has two tshuvas on it. Right. One tshuva, makes light of it, no big deal. Second tshuva is a little stronger, also mentions the Ramban there, and that's really way more significant in your own behavior. It's one thing to associate Thanksgiving with Plymouth Rock, with the Puritans, etc., and look upon it as a reminder of the history of the founding of America, maybe according to some, although not all agree, also a founding of the religious liberty of America from which Am Yisrael has benefited greatly. We found a country that doesn't persecute us, there aren't too many left. Yeah, so it depends on how you look at Thanksgiving. I know in my own family, we always celebrated Thanksgiving by eating turkey on Shabbos after Thanksgiving. It's going to be a fancy meal. We have a Kabbalah in our family that we don't serve meat on Thursdays. Thursday is always fish. So it's from Shum Kvot Shabbos, to show the importance of the Shabbos meal. That's why, not my family, it's widespread minhag. Thursday night, the meal usually consists of the fish soup from making the gefilte fish, to which they add potatoes and sour cream, and that became the traditional soup for Thursday night. Yeah. And that's how in Halacha Thanksgiving should be viewed that way. Certainly fine to recognize the American history behind Thanksgiving, and it's a day off, it's a legal holiday, and family can get together and so on. That's all fine, but not to make it into a Yom Tov. No, it's not a Yom Tov. How do you know it's not a Yom Tov? By sometimes not getting together. And if it's not convenient, if it's an absolute, like in many families, Thanksgiving, right? No different, right? Than if it's a custom to family get together on a Yom Tov, Thanksgiving is one of the Yom Tov. That may be an Issur D'oraisa.
Couldn't the same logic be applied to someone's birthday?
I'm sorry?
Couldn't the same logic be applied to someone's birthday?
Whose birthday?
Someone's birthday, meaning celebrating a birthday.
Yeah.
In some sense, that's making a Yom Tov.
No, I don't think it's in the same category. I mean, I know, there are many families where children travel in from Chicago, from Boston, to be together. That's a little... there are other legal holidays that they don't come in. Could be because the mother's a good cook, and for Thanksgiving she puts herself out. That could be. But that's, again, the reason for your studying Torah, as I told you many times, is to know how to perform Mitzvah Hashem properly and how to avoid Yisuri Hashem properly. Okay? That's all I want to add on the set of Egg of Thanksgiving. May Amos I Nasse Ben Sova Mova. This is, as the Rambam says, Mipi Hashmua, we know it. Mishi Yovish Te Saros Ache Yakif Zokon HaTachto. Age of majority, maturation, is a halachic definition. It requires two things: age, chronology, passage of time, 13 years old, and sexual maturation. Okay. Therefore, it is when he's 13 years old. When does he become 13 years old? We learned before. They are the two Edim. When I'm in Mitzaref, the Edim Echad, one says the Migabo, right? One says he saw the hair on one side, the hair on the other side. I'm Mitzaref them as two Edim to make him into a Godel. Becomes a Godel. But he's not, right? He's not yet, as the Mo expressed himself, he's not yet ripened as a godel. Okay, and that the Mora compares it to a seed that was formed but doesn't have yet the ability to produce a plant, because it looks like a seed but it hasn't matured yet, matured enough to raise another generation. That leads to other machlokas in the Gemara, whether a cotton can or cannot impregnate a wife. Name is a Nase Ben Sova Mora, Mishovi Shisaro, that Sheyakib, Zokon Atachton, Beloha Elion. Zokon refers to the pubic hair. Elo Shadibu Chachom and Beloshonikia. They call it Zokon, a beard. They didn't want to use any other name for it. Shenema, Kiyi Eliish Ben. So we know that he has to be yet a ben. Second, we know that he has to be a ben below bas. He has to be male, not female. right? Ben Blowish, right? He cannot be an Ish. Therefore, he can't be an Ish. What does that mean? A Kotan can be a Ben Sova Mocha? I said, no. That can't be. Why? Shelo bo lechal mitzvos. Kotan poto shelo lechal mitzvos. That cannot be. We have already, that is an axiom. That's not open to discussion. A Kotan can't be chayev any onish by Bezdin, because lo bo lechal mitzvos. Therefore, we know he has to be a Godol. He became a Godol with two sorrows. But there's another requirement. Namely, he shouldn't be too much of a Godol. He has to be a Ben. Ben gives you the connotation of a young fellow who is a Kotan. But he can't be a Kotan, because Kotan is part of an Amisos. Therefore, we know from this Posik, the way we analyze the Posik, that he has to be a Ben, which means a Ben Godol. Why do you call him a Ben Godol? Because it isn't too Godol. Because it's, as we'll see soon, it's no more than a 3-month period during which he can be declared a Ben Sova Mora. Why the 3 months? Mora will explain. Maybe it has nothing to do with the growth of hair. It has to do with the fact that he's for sure a Ben and not an Av. It says, Ki yir le'ish. So you got to make sure that there's Ki yir le'ish Ben, but not Ki yir le'ben Ben. And in 3 months, you can detect whether, if he had relations with a woman, whether she's pregnant or not. If he would impregnate a woman, he's also not Ben Sova Mora. So the exemptions from Sova Mora are not because he has a defense, he's less guilty. It's all halacha l'Moshe Mishinai. The fact that he impregnated a woman, if he could impregnate a woman before he's 13, he's already potter from being a Ben Sova Mora. Is his, the biology, whether he can or cannot. But that's agreed, that's implied by this juxtaposition of Ish Ben, as we'll see. So the Gemara asks, Koton minolon de poto. How do you know that a Koton cannot be a Ben Sova Mora? Well, what do you mean, how you know a Koton can be? But in fact, the Gemara, Minolon, right? What are you asking? Kutana, you told me in the Mishnah, Kutana Taima Shlabola Chal Mitzvos. You cannot be judged by Bezdin. Shlabola Chal Mitzvos. Therefore, he cannot be a Kotor. He has to be a Godol, which means Shtei Saros. Bisu. Hecha Ashkechon the Onash HaKosov. The Ocheli boy called a Miftere. Why did you have such an idea that it's possible that he should be Chayiv? But that will imply from the Pasuk, Ish Ben, as we'll see, that there has to be a Godol. Again, not being a Kotan is axiomatic. It's not shaykh to talk about. There's no havamina to think in any way that a Kotan could be a chayiv in Bezdin for what he did. Therefore, right, he says, Hecha Ashkon the Ona Shakosu, how do you imply from the Pasuk? Oh, yes, the Pasuk indicates that a Kotan would also be a Ben Sova. But we have a klal. And Kotan can't be judged, therefore we don't be exempt him. And for the Gemara, Anan Hocha Kamrinan. And here's a good lesson also. can't use your own seichel to interpret Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. A mitzvah is given, and even though you might think you could make an exception, you don't make exceptions in mitzvahs unless the mitzvah itself has the exception. And over here you have a conflict, right? What? A conceptual conflict. What do you mean conceptual conflict? This Ben Tzor Humor, you say, can't be a katan because a katan can't be punished. But he can't be a gadol either and not do anything that's worthy of punishment. What did this fellow do? We'll learn later on. I mean, you know it from simple pshat Rashi. What is a who's a Ben Tzor Humor? Right? He has to what? Steal money from his father and buy meat and buy wine, right? And go out to these people, what is it? The crowd, Wall Street, down with Wall Street or something, and eat it in the chevre of these asocial, antisocial people, right? But he didn't do anything wrong as far as business is concerned. He stole, he had to give the money back. Right? He ate, go on a diet. I mean, there's nothing that's chayiv miso. Yet you tell me that this, oh, he's a godo, but he's chayiv miso. That's a klal also. No one is chayiv miso unless he's chayiv miso. So if you tell me he's chayiv miso, why? That's the svara. Because I fear that this behavior will lead to his becoming a murderer, as Imo says. He will, we read it in the Rambam already, he will look to maintain that lifestyle that he finds pleasurable, and he won't find enough money because his father died. He ate up already the whole inheritance, yet he wants to keep up this lifestyle. Yeah, he becomes a highwayman, becomes a mugger, right? Ultimately, finds himself in a situation where he has to kill somebody, and therefore we said, let him die zakayv lo chayav. Let him die before he's guilty of killing somebody. So we already went ahead and violated another axiom. There's an axiom that Bezdin can't give misa unless the chayav misa. And the man didn't do anything. As far as Bezdin's concerned, what did he do? He stole. There's a chayav, he has to pay back Kefil, we'll punish him. But no chayiv misa. Skila we're talking about. Therefore, I already have an axiom that was broken. So maybe the other axiom is also broken. Namely, the axiom that a katan can't be judged in Bezdin may also be here an exception. You want to say something?
So leaving this point, what you just said aside, why is it that we're so worried about a kid who his future is not so promising, or at least it looks that way? Why don't we also worry about punishing adults who maybe have taken on this lifestyle and they really have no chance of changing because they're already adults? Like they always say, as you get older and you stay in the
okay,
certain.
Okay, but on what basis? On what basis are you going to decide? I mean, the answer is because we have no right to do so. But on what basis would you decide, right, that this adult behavior will not change? Yom Kippur wasn't that far back. We assume that behavior can change. Here we have a gzeira sakos of this behavior, and has to be structured exactly the way the Torah is structured it. Remember quickly, what steps are needed to bring Solomon over? Number one, his parents have to give up on him. His parents gave up on him. They brought him to Bezdin of three, a plain Bezdin of three people, and he said, "Bnei Nuzer, Soro Mora, Eino Shamei Vekoleinu." He won't listen. But he's only teens at risk, right? Then he goes ahead, and he does that which the Torah lists, steals, from his father, buys a certain quantity of meat, tartim or boso, and a chotzilug or lug yayin, right, and eats it in the presence of like-minded teens, also teens at risk, right? Then they bring him back to a bezdin of Chav Gimel. Now, who's bringing him back and forth? We are talking about parents, right, knowing the consequence of their action, that they are putting their son in the risk of being killed at Skila by bezdin. And they come back to the bezdin of 23, and the bezdin of 3 have to come with them. So the 3 and the 23, for the bezdin 23 with the parents, and they say, B'neinu zeh, so amora eino shemeya b'koleinu. Then bezdin checks, what did he do? And he did steal that much money to buy that much meat, and whatever that quantity is, and the amount of wine, chotzilug yayin, there. Then they'll put him to death. And assuming they have to check that he didn't impregnate any women in the meanwhile, if he can impregnate women, because yes, he's no longer a ben, he becomes an av, and therefore cannot be judged either. This is a unique circumstance, right? And that's why the Gemara will say, Ben Zohar Morah Lohoyev Lo Nidla. Never happened. You can imagine to meet all these requirements. So what then? It's in the Torah as what? As a kind of extreme example of what it means when a child breaks away from the chinuch of his parents, when he's eino shomea b'koleinu. As we'll see, the Perek would be kind of like a theoretical study, but not so agavuche. The way Rabbi Ravashi did it brings in some very critical, important halachas. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. I had a hava mina to think that a katan will be punished in this case. We'll have to face bezdin, and he's subjected to a death penalty. Ah, you told me cotton is an axiom. Cotton there is never chayev, right? Cotton potter shlobo mechal mitzvos. But that's an exception. What's the exception? He didn't do anything to chayev miso. Yet you tell me he's chayev miso, so maybe it applies to a cotton also. Therefore, the Gemara says, kivon dal sofer al shem sofer nerag. The only ways we give him miso, not for what he did, but what he can do. Oh, there's such a thing, what a person can do, you give him miso now? Therefore, it's a unique case, apilukot anami. Also the pasuk itself, of samaches on the base. The pasuk itself, right, the ode, ben, velo ish, kotan mashma. When the pasuk says to him, yil ish ben, what does that indicate? What is the connotation of the ben? It means a little boy. Amarav Yehuda, Amarav. The Amakra, but why then? Now this answers the question that's unasked. Why then does the Torah refer to him in such a way, call him a ben, and then tell us that he must be an ish? That he can't be a ben, because a ben is not subject to the authority of Bezdin, because a katan is not a bo lachal mitzvos. So why did you give this misleading connotation or misleading impression? He's a ben, indicating a little boy. That's how you normally would interpret the pasuk. Kiel ish ben, right? Amarav Yehuda, Amarav, Amakra, Chilish Ben Hasamoch Liberoso Shavish. What does that mean? He's an Ish, but he's not an Ish Bigvuroso. He's not a fully matured Ish. But an ishi has to be, because that rule is inviolate. That a kotan, that low ball of chamisos, cannot be judged by Bezdin. Period of being a godol but not an ish is, the Mishnah said, from the time that he brought Shei Saros to the time Sheyakiv Zokon HaTachton, till the pubic hair grows in fully. Tana Rav Chiya Ad Sheyakiv HaTorah. Don't know exactly what it is there, but the Yad Rama says Yakev HaTorah means there's a circle of hair, at least there's a crown of hair, not fully grown in, but no one else seems to bother to translate what it is, because normally I would translate there that Yakev HaTorah, it has to cover, right, what the Atorah on the male organ. Unless a fellow has some kind of abnormality where he has a crop of hair growing over there enough to cover the male organ. So therefore, that pshat is the only one that I can offer you. But Atyakev Atorah, that it circles a crown. In other words, there is hair all around the male organ, yeah. But referring to hair on the pubic hair, yeah.
So then, in this context, Atara refers to the whole male anatomy.
Yeah. The what?
So in this context, Atara doesn't just mean the head of the penis; it means the whole thing. Circumference around?
I mean, hair doesn't grow on the male organ. You can't be hair growing on the atoll, around the atoll, because hair doesn't grow there. That's one of the reasons we delay a bliss. Want to explain that one? We delay a bliss because hair doesn't grow on the male organ. No? Come on, people. Little imagination. Okay, it's a famous, it's important halacha, how you handle a hypospadia. It's a halacha you should know. Mm. What's hypospadia?
Testicles aren't fully...
what does hypo mean?
Less.
No, lower.
Lower,
okay. Right, okay. The male organ has an opening here where you urinate. Children are often born with the opening, not exactly over here, a little bit over here, so no big deal. But if it's over here, then you can only urinate sitting down. Then you have to go ahead and do urologic surgery and make the opening over here. How do you do that? He's missing tissue. So what do? You take the alveolar tissue and stretch it out there. You don't cut it off completely. You detach it and you open up and use the alveolar tissue to form the ureter, to complete the formation of the ureter. Right. Why could you delay the bris? He has to be, to have enough tissue, enough older tissue, he has to be approximately 2 years old. Why not take, it's only a skin graft, why not take skin from here? Or from here? Because it'll grow here. The only tissue we know guaranteed won't grow here is the older tissue. That's why we delay a bris. right? Because we need tissue that won't grow hair. How's that for a hechetim? That's a nice shayla on a dupe of prina.
Did
you all follow that?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Doesn't skin on the palm and soles of the feet also not grow hair?
Very. Ellie, you going into medicine?
Yeah.
I think we have to make a special tefillah that, because if you take skin from here, it forms scar tissue on your hand. So you'll end up with a hand like this. Okay. You can't afford it here, not on the hand. Okay? Again, what are we doing here? We're trying to find an overt sign that he's a koton godol, that he's a big koton, meaning he's already a godol, but he's not an ish. Right. Therefore, Rabbi says, hakofas gid, lo hakofas beitzim. We're talking about hair growing means the altola growing around the male organ, covered, but not so much as to cover also the testicles. Amav chizde. Here we come. Katan shaholid eino ein beno nase ben solo mora. All based upon the use of these two words together, the juxtaposition, ki yeh le'ish ben, that somehow is being used. Again, I remind you, it's all halacha moshe mishina. But nevertheless, I'm trying to show that Kodesh Baruch Hu often gives a hint at the need for Torah Shabbat Peh to explain what the Torah Shabbat Ksav is. If a katan gave birth, a boy before the age of 13, impregnated a girl, she gave birth to a boy, that boy is exempt from being a ben sova mola. Yet, Amar Chizde, katan shaholid, ein bno, nasis ben sova mola. Shenema, ki yeh le'ish ben, V'lo leben ben. Now, as ben sova mola, an adult has a child. But a child who has a child, that child is not a member of ben sova mola. You can give a layman's understanding. Imagine if your father was only 9 years older than you. You really can't count on parental discipline. Maybe behind it, it's only a swari, Sarah doesn't say it. Why is it that a ben that's born to a ben? Right? Because the Yisru also over the emo, has to be a practical situation of parental discipline that's being rejected. But if your father is only 9 years old, right, as one will say, you're nine maybe, you already impregnate a woman, right? The fact that you don't listen to him is because you don't listen to any of your friends. Lacks the parental authority that comes with age. Shenemag irid ben ish ben lo ben ben. Fighting more, you can't learn that from there. Haimi boyle lichav Yehuda. we need that juxtaposition of Ish Ben. You need to teach you Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, right? The what was Rabbi Yehuda's halacha? Ben Hasomoch Gburoso Shalish, right? That is an ish, but not a Gburoso Shalish. That is an immature adult, but adult he is. So I use that ish ben relationship to teach you that halacha, right? So how can you use it now to teach you a new halacha that a ben who has a ben, that ben is potter for ever becoming a ben sova mora? And for the mora, right? Hi, mi boy le rabruda, la ruda marab, and came they mekor ki ben le ish. My kid is Ben, Shmamolod of Chavchizda. The fact that it says, Kiyir, right, the Ish Ben, it comes to teach you, an Ish has to give birth to a Ben, not a Ben being birth, give birth to a Ben.
But he's still technically a Ben, even if he can.
Yeah? So the aim of Lukulu also, maybe that's the only thing that it teaches you. But it doesn't tell you the first halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Rav that you need a godol, but not big vuroso, but a godol, but not yet a full godol. That's what we imply from that use of the word benich, right? Veimer then kula lochadi also. Now I don't have a raya to Rabbi Yehuda, right? In Cain, neimakra benich, my ish ben shmama natarti. So you play around with this. The semantics, that how you play with the two words ish ben ben ish, what connotation it has. Nevertheless, we learn from that two halachas. Number one, he has to be a godol hasomach leish, meaning a godol without gvuroso shalish, which is stay saros until some later time, whatever that is, we'll see. And second, comes to teach you this strange halacha, which the Gemara picks up on, namely that a non-godol, a ben, a koton, has a child, that child can never be judged as a ben sova mora. Come to Gemara now and enters into the biology of that. Is that a possibility? Can a koton father a child? Uplihi de rabo. This idea that a koton could father a child, right, is in conflict with what Rabbah taught us. Because Rabbah taught us, Dama Rabbah, koton ain't no molit. A koton, in other words, you can, it's ish kisaziya v'yolda zocho. So we know that a person has to be able to produce sperm. That's sazria, he produces zera. That means post puberty. And at 9 years old, the Gemara says a boy could have a cohabitation, could have a sexual encounter. But he can't be mazriya. That requires more years to achieve purity. And that's what Rabbi says, Kotan ain't a molid. And he has a raya from the Torah that Kotan ain't a molid. That's the interesting thing. Okay.
Why couldn't we say that in every instance where it seemed that a Kotan had impregnated a woman, that in reality it was someone else's child, that it wasn't a Kotan? It seems like the simplest explanation. All those instances
that
it was someone else's child, it was an adult's child, because they there's no paternity
from here. We know that Chazal knew how to do DNA identification. we're talking about a given case, right? Now we know we know not. I mean, halacha is based upon you make up the case, then we tell the halacha. The case is that this was he was the father.
Is it really possible to know with 100% certainty?
Yeah, sure. Of course it's possible. If she was in seclusion with her father, and there was one little boy showed up because they were looking for a babysitter, and this little boy made a baby. It's theoretical, but it's not relevant. I make it into a case by giving you the conditions. How does Rabbah know? Mind you, they're not arguing as infertility experts. They're not arguing here as endocrinologists. They're arguing as people who master the Torah. So we look for the Torah. Does the Torah speak about that question? Can a child, can a koton, right, become a father? So Rabbah found a beautiful raya. Just you have to know your chumash a little bit. Look at the side of the Gemara. They quotes the pasuk in Bamidbar. You all have it. V'ein le'ish. You have it too. V'ein le'ish goel. V'hoshiv es ha'osham elov. To return the osham sin offering. I'll interpret it in a minute, right? But hamoshav. Then lashem hamoshav lashem, that you have to return to Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Cohen, how's the bus go? Yeah. Right. Milvade Kippurim. What is the pasuk? A pasuk that lacks translation. What are we talking about? So the Gemara says that pasuk is talking about a very special case. Someone stole, he was accused, and he swore that he was not guilty. And then he was found to be guilty. So he has to return the object plus a fifth, plus the chomish, right? 20% more. And he has to bring a korban oshem because he swore falsely. What if he can't return the stolen object, the stolen value? Why? The person died. The nigzel died. So he returned it to his heirs, to the estate. What if he has no estate? So Moses says, we'll have it in a minute, there's no such thing, a man not having an estate. Why? If he had something of value and you stole it and you want to return it, you have to give it back to his estate. When he has no estate, he has a father. The father's dead, then the father's sons, Yarshin. The father's sons are the brothers. There are no brothers, so the father's father, Yarshins. All the way up till Yaakov Avinu, till the Yud Meishrotim. So there can't be a person out of goel, except for one person, namely a ger. A ger has no yachas, has no family relations. Therefore, if a ger dies and there's no one to return, then you have to give it to a kohen. That's the pasuk. The whole pasuk is talking about then, in the case where there is an ein le'ish goel, right? That's what it starts off. He has no heirs. Then where do you have such a case? Only one it could be is a ger. Therefore, it's a chiyuv when someone stole and he has to return now the keved, the chomish, Bezdin has to help find a goel, find a relative to give it to. That's part of his kapora to give it back. So the pasuk says, "The name is goel. Don't bother. Don't bother looking. You won't find a goel. Therefore, give it right to the kohen. Where do you find such a circumstance where there's no need to look for any relations? Only by a ger. Okay, but a ger could have a child. Probably nobody has no descendants. So before you give up and give it to a kohen, you have to check the aim of each goel. You have to make affirm there is no goel. How can you affirm that? Maybe he was visiting Bimdina Sayom and he has a goel there. The answer is he's a kotan. He's a ger kotan. And the ger kotan, right, therefore couldn't have any heirs. From this, Rabba brings a raya that a kotan can't be molded. Did you follow the machinations? Starts off with Aloch in Ashavas Aveda, Ashavas Gzela. From Ashavas Gzela, we tell me there's one case where there's no suffix. Just give it to the Kohen, because there's no one else you'll find. Only such case could be a Ger Kotan, who you know Vadai ain't a molded. From here we know that that Kadosh Baruch Hu assumed, since Kadosh Baruch Hu made the laws of nature, right? That Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling you a kotan ain't a molid. That's Rabbah's raya.
What if it's talking about a kotan under nine?
Only.
What if it's only under nine?
Only one.
What if it's